Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. With me as ever is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello there.
Are we well?
I have got... I'm tired, so I tried to drink a lot of coffee earlier this morning, and now I've got the coffee sweats.
Yeah, I've got the exact same thing. I drank about a pint of coffee this morning, and now I've made us both delicious coffees.
It's going to be even worse.
This is going to be... so wired, it's going to be off the charts.
Me being awake is a lie, that's what it's telling me. My body's saying this, and I'm starting to understand, work out it's a lie. It started to get dark as well in the evenings.
It's a bit, I think I'm being a bit seasonally affected at the moment as well.
Are you feeling a bit down the dumps?
A little bit, but more so than I have been on the sunny days.
Yeah, I think it's probably because when you look at life as a whole,
yeah,
there really isn't much hope.
Is there not? Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. With me as ever is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello there.
Are we well?
I have got... I'm tired, so I tried to drink a lot of coffee earlier this morning, and now I've got the coffee sweats.
Yeah, I've got the exact same thing. I drank about a pint of coffee this morning, and now I've made us both delicious coffees.
It's going to be even worse.
This is going to be so wired. It's going to be off the charts.
Me being awake is a lie. That's what it's telling me. My body's saying this, and I'm starting to understand, work out it's a lie. It started to get dark as well in the evenings.
It's a bit... I think I'm being a bit seasonally affected at the moment as well.
Are you feeling a bit down the dumps?
A little bit, but more so than I have been on the sunny days.
Yeah. I think it's probably because when you look at life as a whole,
yeah,
there really isn't much hope.
Is there not? I look up to you, Merrick, because of your years of wisdom that you've got ahead of me.
How many years older am I than you?
I'm not sure. Is it four?
Were you
33? 31.
I'm 6 years older than you.
Well, those 6 years of wisdom...
When's your birthday?
May 26th.
Oh, yes, I am. 6 years... I think it's probably only about two.
Well, of wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I've wasted about four of those. You've caught up quite a lot.
Well, maybe I'm just feeling slightly down because I went to see Riddick this week.
Let's talk about that first of all.
Okay.
This week's new releases.
New releases with Devon Maddick.
Please, someone make a jingle for us.
Our own jingles are beyond weak.
Why'd you go and see this?
Well, now listen, that's a fair question. I like sci-fi, and I like adventure, so I'm starting from a different position from you anyway. I saw Pitch Black, which was the original Australian little indie movie with Vin Diesel in it, where he first played Riddick, and it's a good film. He is a prisoner, and they get marooned on a planet, and it turns out Riddick's not the worst thing there. There's also monsters in the dark. Okay, fine. Second one, Chronicles of Riddick. Massive, overblown, complete pile of rubbish. They tried to turn it into a massive, scoped sci-fi world like Star Wars or something, and it just was awful. Awful, awful, awful. He ends up as king of the universe at the end of that one, sitting on a big throne. Fine. This one, they were going back to basics. In the first 10 minutes, they completely undo everything they did in the second one. The setup could not be simpler. He's stranded on a planet you know, only his wits to survive against, and there's these horrible monsters that look like scorpions, and then some bounty hunters arrive to try and kill him, and he has to try and kill all of them first to steal their ship to get off the planet before the storms come in and all the monsters move in. That's it. That's the entire setup.
I thought it's gone back to basics.
I thought it might actually, you know, tell a decent story and do all of that. And it tries to, and it fails. But
what your description of it, to be honest, sounded quite good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like double monsters, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to defeat the first monsters before the even worse monsters arrive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bit like when I had a roast dinner and I hated the Brussels sprouts and also be sweet on there.
Yeah.
So I used to try and hide the bits of roast dinner in my napkin and go to the toilet during the meal.
Watching Riddick's a lot like that.
But because my parents knew I would try and go with the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I see. You took them with you.
I took the Swede out because they were looking at the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, yeah.
Make that into a movie.
And smoke it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Riddick wasn't utterly disappointing. Afterwards, when I came home, I watched Dread again because it's similarly, actually, it's a sci-fi thing with a hard man, central character, blah, blah, blah. But it's such a simple premise that is then just done really well. And Riddick could have been that. That's probably its closest, most recent sort of rival, I'd say. But it gives its characters more space to breathe and for you to get to know them and it to be a bit more intimate than your normal action film of running around, flashy bang, woo. But it turns out when you give Riddick more time, there's really not much substance to him, and he's not very. And the writers don't have anything interesting to say. So weirdly, it dragged for an action film. It was slow. It was really slow.
What I can't understand is how they made a third one when the second one was universally panned.
Well, because Vin Diesel makes money because of the Fast and the Furious films. This one appears to have been funded by the WWE, the World Wrestling.
Oh, has it got lots of wrestlers in it?
There's a wrestler in it, and I think their logo was at the beginning. They funded it, I think, some of it.
See, so, my argument is, I mean, who watches these films? Who these people who watch these films are clogging up our cinema? and you've watched it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like giving money to the bad guys.
It's not. It's not that kind. It's not that bad. I mean, you've got to have a bit of spectacle. It was a bit like John Carter of Mars, but without any hope.
How many people were in the cinema? What time did you go and see it? This is a good.
I went to see it at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about half full.
Really?
Yeah.
And were the other people just sort of teenagers who were idiots?
I didn't stare at them that much, to be honest. I was mostly looking forwards. But no, I'd say they were a mix of folk.
I.
But you don't like the adventure genre anyway.
No, I like Dread. I like The Raid. I like good action. I don't like it when it's just bigger and bigger monsters. I'm a big fan of early sort of the things that spawned this, like Aliens.
That's exactly what this is trying to be. It's trying to be Aliens and Predator. It's got the team of mercenaries who are. It's mostly about. Most of the film is them, not Riddick, because Riddick's the monster, actually,
okay.
For the first thing. He's an anti-hero. So it's them trying to survive, like The Thing as well. It's that genre.
See,
is what it's
brilliant.
Trying to be. And it ends up being about as sophisticated as a cutscene from Gears of War, which is a computer game that it clearly has been copying the art design from. But, they don't have any interesting dialogue to put in the mouths of these characters, so we don't. There's no point spending so much time with them. They're not good at building up tension or any of this stuff. That is what that genre is. It's tension.
I love Alien. I love the Predator. I love Terminator.
Yeah.
Terminator 2. All that stuff was great. Were my favourite films in the early 90s and late 80s.
Mm.
But it's just rubbish now. It's just ridiculously huge monsters. And it sounds like a similar monster to the monster in After Earth. It's as disgusting as you can make it. And they just... Oh, I don't...
They were better than most on this. It wasn't just a CGI fest. I mean, there's huge amounts of CGI, but mostly to cut the budget down, really. And they're on an alien world, so they've got to create that. But it started well and didn't hold up. Like, the beginning, it's him trying to train himself and to defeat one monster and their adversaries, and it's actually told quite well at the beginning, yeah. And then it just sort of loses its way. But and he gets that it really lost me at a point where, you know, that scene they do in films where they did it with the Joker in The Dark Knight, and they do it with other kind of people that the audience is supposed to go, oh, he's so evil, when there's a guy, when the character is like chained up, or, you know, is tied to a chair or something, and he says, let me tell you what's going to happen. In 5 minutes' time, I'm going to put this pencil through that guy's balls, and then I'm going to do this and this and this. And they're just like, hey, you're never going to do that. And then, lo and behold, he does. Mm. They have that scene, fine. You know, it's soft and fun. But in that one where he's going, I'm going to do this hard thing, and I'm going to kill that guy, and I'm going to kill that guy, and then I'm going to be balls deep in that woman. And you're like, whoa, what? Riddick! He genuinely said that, balls deep.
Oh,
he was just like, you being a hard killing machine was sort of cool with.
Not a sex monster.
A sex monster is not, that's not cool, Riddick.
Even say, I'm going to, you know, talk to her, I'm going to get to know her.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy her flowers, I'm going to realise she's a person, and then when she's, if that's what she wants.
Yeah.
I will do that, but at the same time, we'll still love and respect her.
I don't think there was much insinuation that you just go, and in 25 minutes' time, you're going to be romanced off your feet. And
yeah.
You just go, I don't think I am, but I look forward to that. No, it wasn't none of that.
I don't know if there's any woman who would say, 25 minutes' time, I'm going to be balls deep in you. That you're actually saying, well, A, you've probably got to know instantly. I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was... That it was really like, oh no, no, no.
What a horrible phrase.
Horrible phrase. Horrible phrase, especially when combined with a promise.
Yeah, at least be a bit less ambitious.
Yeah.
Helm's deep.
Helm's deep in you.
My favourite one of those scenes, which are what I'm going to do scene, is one of my favourite scenes with... In True Romance with Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
He doesn't really say what he's going to do to him, but he knows he's going to kill him. And they just have a sort of normal... They get to that point and go, right,
yeah,
I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah.
And then just do your bit. You know, we both know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You don't need to say all that ordering about. It's like Babe Ruth when he pointed to the... that was the first time someone said what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah. Was it the first time ever?
But that was in sport.
Yeah.
Because Babe Ruth famously, I think he played for the Yankees or something... pointed to the outfield,
yes,
saying he was going to hit a home run.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gave birth to this. That's what I'm going to... The idea of telling people what they're going
to
do.
That's why now in a game of pool, you have to pick your pocket, which one you're going to pop the black in.
Yeah.
It's Babe Ruthing it, isn't it?
It's the point. The Babe Ruth point that changed human interaction forever.
Wow. Well, thanks, Babe Ruth, for that. But I'm sorry Riddick picked up your ball and carried it quite so far.
How many... balls do you give Riddick?
How many balls? It didn't go David? Balls deep in me, I have to admit. He didn't do what he promised.
Okay.
It's going to have to be only half a ball, I think.
Which translates as how many Davids?
Three.
Three Davids.
Three or four.
Oh, well, as we get into the middle section, I went to see a film, but first of all, we should maybe read out a letter.
Go on, then. Who's been in touch?
I'm going to read out a letter now. Oh, let's do the horror film was one, shall we, for this one?
Okay.
Friend of the show, Anne Coletta, has been in. Do you want to read it out? Because I think, as a reader,
yeah.
One reading age is maybe two or three years older than mine.
Are you regressing? Are you Benjamin Buttoning your reading age? Sorry, are you Jodie Fostering your
Jodie
reading
Foster,
age?
Jodie Foster, yeah. That's a reference to last week. Or 2 weeks ago, rather, when we talked about Elysium and Jodie Foster's acting performances getting progressively worse as she gets older.
I can't wait for what she's going to be doing in 10 years' time. It is going to be wonderfully bad.
She's going to be playing Keanu Reeves in Dracula.
Okay, Anne Coletta, where is she from?
America somewhere, I think.
Okay. Dear David Merrick and Buddy, I was introduced to Hammer Horror and a lot of other horror films, that is, by my ex. The ones that really stuck with me were the bizarrely entertaining Houseu, or House, and the truly disturbing Wreck. I can't find the full versions online, but here are some clips. She sent us some clips of Houssou and Wreck. Side note, I met my husband when we were in graduate school taking a required class in management. Ugh! Our first assignment was a management paper on anything, so I wrote mine on Shaun of the Dead, and he wrote his on Dawn of the Dead. Cute. Aww. Give my best to Danielle Ward. I miss hearing her on the podcast, but I'm very glad her play is coming to New York. Yours, Anne.
Well, thanks, Anne Coletta. I've not seen Wreck, which I'm ashamed of.
Have you seen House?
Houssou? No, I haven't, but I've not heard of it, so that one I'm excited by, but I feel more ashamed I can't join in the conversation.
I haven't seen Houssou, but I have seen Wreck, which they remade, I think.
Yes, it's Quarantine.
Yes, but the original was a Spanish one about these firemen who go into this... it's a fireman zombie sort of film.
Fireman versus zombies.
It's one of those sort of found footage one. It's really great though. And when you say found footage, you automatically think, "Oh right, this is a shit
Blair Witch."
Yeah, it's really great. It is.
They can be. I mean, it's just.
I thoroughly enjoyed Wreck, and I think everyone should watch it. It's very good.
All right.
Any other horror film? What are your favourite horror films?
Oh, The Shining has to be up there for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. Drag Me to Hell, I'm very fond of. American Werewolf in London, obviously.
That's some weird countdown thing.
Yeah.
What films are you most scared of?
As a kid?
No, when as now, what you've seen.
I mean, now?
The Omen, I was petrified of that. I still think it's one of the scariest films.
Well, the thing is, I don't think I get scared at horror films anymore. Because, and I'm not, it's not a pathetic teenager's brag, but I watched The Shining when I was 5 years old, and it probably scarred me, I think. But I haven't found horror films scary since then. Probably just because, you know, my brain's going, just a film, just a film.
Do you think you're a psychopath?
Oh, I hope so. No, I don't think I am.
Is that one of the tests of a psychopath to find out if they find a horror film scary or not?
Not that I know of, no. I think you talk about them, you talk to a psychopath about themselves and see how keen they are to talk about it and how awesome they think they are.
One of my scariest films, just change the subject.
To talk about yourself.
Because I'm a psychopath.
Right, yeah.
Is The Grudge, the remake of a Japanese one with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Really?
In terms of being terrified by a film.
I would hate to find a hand in my hair whilst I was having a shower.
Yeah, is that what happens? I can't remember.
It happens in the trailer. I've not seen the film.
It's seeing things out the corner of your eye. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because then when you go to bed, you think you keep on seeing things out the corner of your eye. And you think, oh, do you know what? The last thing I want is to get killed by a Japanese monster when I've got stuff to do tomorrow.
That idea is terrifying. Not getting your stuff done.
But say I wanted...
you're gearing up for a plug, aren't you? I can hear them coming these days.
I don't
know
just how
out the corner of my ears.
I don't know how... It's almost like I've got... When you go around someone's house and you've got to ask something, your mum's asked you to ask something, you've got to do it. I just don't want to
take as long as possible.
Yeah.
Is always.
I'll go around.
You've got a very loud segue. I can hear it coming a mile
it's
off.
It's a sigh, isn't it? Yeah, I've got no subtlety at all.
But I think what you're getting at is if people would like to experience some kind of horror thing live,
bingo.
Then why not come to Film Fandango Live 2, which is going to be a Halloween special and a quiz.
What date is it, though?
I'm trying to remember. 29th of October, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's a Tuesday. But where is it, though?
It's at the Forge and Foundry, the same place as last time. They do good drink.
And what's going to happen, then?
Well, the details have yet to be ironed out, but I think it's going to be a quiz with prizes, and we're going to, as part of the quiz, we're going to show short films we've made ourselves again. And, it's going to be really good times.
Yeah, because last time we did it, we enjoyed it. We showed our films in the first half and did a bit of a quiz.
And then we watched RoboCop.
But I thought it seemed everyone wanted to get together. There's lots of really nice people came along. Thank you for coming. And everyone wanted to sort of just chat films.
Well, that's what we felt. It was after the interval, everyone had sort of relaxed and started to get on. And then they had to sit in the dark for 2 hours. And then by the time that finished, they had to get catch the tube home. So we're going to hopefully make it a bit more interactive, social.
And there'll be lots of, I think tickets about £7.50, which is quite expensive, but there'll be lots of prizes. So we're going to get loads of DVDs for that. And if you have any prizes, if you want to send us any DVDs, just send them to us so we can give them away.
Or bring them on the night.
Yeah, bring them on the night.
We'll put them into the kitty.
Anything you don't want that you want to give away, yeah, do that. Make sure it works first. Hey, but hang on. It's not just that. I want to write into this podcast and I want to express myself.
Right. Well, why don't you email us? You can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to just post on our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/filmfandango.
And that's where information about the live Film Fandango, and you can buy tickets. Or if not, go to Foundry, Camden, Film Fandango, and buy them there.
Yeah, you can Google all that stuff, but it's probably easiest to go to our Facebook page. Even if you don't use Facebook, and more people are leaving, I understand. It's sort of a digital wasteland these days. But you can still view our Facebook page to get all of the information. Or you can just tweet us if you'd like to be in touch, at Film Fandango. So, Marek, you have gone to the cinema as well this week.
Yeah, I went to the blimmin' cinema.
But you didn't go see Riddick, did you?
No. Well, this might surprise people. I'm actually a sucker for a good rom-com.
Is that right? What's your favourite rom-com?
I don't know. Truly Madly Deeply, maybe?
It's a good one. I don't like The Magician, but I do like everyone else.
Yeah, no one likes him. Yeah. If he'd been the other way around, he should have died.
Maybe that's why it's so moving, that you find it really difficult to move on from Alan Rickman as well.
Yeah, everyone's like, do you know what? I think she should have spent a bit more time
grieving.
Yeah. I went to see, of course, the most famous rom-com man is Richard Curtis.
Correct. Who I always accidentally called Tony Curtis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I've gone out of it, but I went through a phase of doing that.
It's weird how once you get the synapses in your brain saying something wrong,
yeah,
it's really hard to relearn the right thing again.
Do you think I have a synapse dedicated to getting Richard Curtis's name right now? Because I wanted to get it right so often that I've actually now got a piece of hardware.
You need to make that synapse stronger than the Tony Curtis one.
Right.
So it's only by
consuming parts of his body that I can do that.
So basically, for beginning people into neurology, is it neurology? Isn't it? Yeah. What's happened is your synapse thinking that Tony Curtis started to make a mistake, but then beforehand you realised that you made that Tony Curtis mistake beforehand. So your first thought, I think, is that you make a mistake. That precedes the Tony Curtis thing.
And then I just go into a big cycle.
Yeah, then at the end of it, someone gets killed.
Oh, God.
Well, you could always go back in time and change the mistake, which segues me.
I did not hear that segue coming. You've got better at it.
Normally, I do a big sigh that shows I'm thinking.
Beep, beep. You turn the beeping reverse noise off. So, it was About Time.
Yes, About Time is Richard Curtis's latest rom-com.
And last?
I
heard some press that it was going to be his last film.
He's made, I haven't seen The Boat That Rocked, but it got some bad reviews. He seems to have gone off the boil since he was a god amongst British filmmakers.
Mm.
For One Is in the Funeral, Notting Hill.
Yeah, Love Actually.
And Love Actually were his big ones.
I mean, they sort of increased in commercial success as they went along, but went downhill in terms of quality, in my opinion. Four Weddings is a classic film and should be remembered, I think, and watched.
Really. I really like Notting Hill.
Oh, so do I, but yeah. I think it's not as accomplished, and then Love Actually is sort of fine.
Well, what happens in this one, I tell you, is there's a young sort of 21-year-old bloke called Tim who finds out from his father, played by Bill Nighy, that all the male people in their family can time travel, but not big things, only within their lifetime.
So they can travel back to a moment in their life they've already lived.
Yeah, and just change and go back forward again. So all they have to do is go in the cupboard and just clench their fists and think of it, if that's simple.
Right, and how long can they go back for?
They can go back for as long as they want, and they can go forward again and change little things. Things will be changed.
Do they have to jump forward again afterwards?
Not really, but they normally do. It's not explained. Basically, the time-travelling thing is not properly thought through.
Okay.
What's interesting is that I've just finished reading a time-travel book by Stephen King, which is 11/22/63. hope I haven't got the wrong, but it's the day that JFK died.
Right.
But a guy who goes back in time. And that is a really, although that is a flawed book, which will eventually get made into a film, I've no doubt, it covers the time travel aspect of it much more intelligently than this film, which just, it seems to me the time travel aspect is, here's what happens, we're going to explain it, we're not going to go into too much detail.
You can't, because it doesn't work. Ultimately, it will never perfectly work.
So it's sort of not really, really explained.
Okay. So what does Tim use this power to do?
He just uses this to fall in love. Now, this has got every single trapping of Richard Curtis films. It's sort of set around that sort of West London area. It's got the American love interest.
Yeah.
It's got the sort of slightly ditzy Charlotte, what's her name, who died, character. You know, one from Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, Scarlett.
Scarlett, the great actress who died, sadly. I can't remember her name. That sort of character's in it as his sister. There's the sort of oddball character. It's the same set of characters that appear in all his films. And Four Weddings and a Funeral, for me, I think had that charm and that naivety.
Mm.
And Hugh Grant was brilliant at playing that part.
Oh, he is excellent.
And also in Notting Hill, it's got that sort of Britishness, which is very upper middle class, I'd say.
Yes.
And that was charming, I think, in those two films. And now it's sort of lost its sheen for me. And it feels a bit like this is your vehicle for making a film. This sort of half sort of foppish, not very funny, just slightly really British, that has become, was naive in the early 90s. And now it seems a bit, I don't really think of the word, sort of staged and not funny anymore. Not as funny,
not as relevant, perhaps.
Not as relevant, but it feels
resonant.
Like, yeah, see, it feels like, oh, right, this is you pushing the buttons,
right,
for a big success story. And I think the bloke who plays the main lead is Domhnall Gleeson, or Dom, I can't pronounce it. He's Brendan Gleeson's son.
Oh,
now I thought for the first bit of this film, he really annoyed me because he's got a romantic lead. And he was playing that sort of shy Hugh Grant fop.
Yeah,
and I just thought, hang on a minute, this character's gay, isn't he?
Wow.
I don't know if my gaydar's wrong, but I thought, you're just acting, you look like a, you're acting like a quite, he was acting so foppy and fey, I thought, you're surely this character's going to realise he's actually gay and not looking for a romance.
Be a brave move in a rom-com.
Be much braver and much more interesting. Instead, it was just quite typical him, and the lines he gave to chat up the beautiful Rachel McAdams, who I thought was great.
She's your go-to time-travelling love interest.
Yeah, and underused as well. I think just smiley and a bit two-dimensional and just perfect and nice in every way. And I thought she could play a lot more interesting character. She played it very well.
Like in The Notebook.
Yes, it was just a bit too two-dimensional. And the joke, and him chatting her up, I just thought, you know what? She would tell him to piss off.
So, let me, because I've only seen the trailer, and this would be my guess, but he goes back in time to rectify mistakes he's made. So if his first introduction to her isn't perfect, he'll go back and do it again and do the right thing and stuff. Does it get beyond that much?
Not really. It's about sort of time travelling, it's about relationship.
Because after a while, that would get sinister to me, of just like, what, you think this girl is superficial just, enough to, that, you know,
it just escapes being sinister, doesn't it? It feels a little bit cringy.
How far back does he go? Does he go back to being a nappies, for instance?
No. It does get a bit stalkery at one point when you think, there's no way if someone would come up to you and knew your name and knew about you, you just go, leave me alone.
Mm.
I don't find this amusing. I find this really stalkery.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call the police now.
Like
several
in,
times when Rachel McAdams in the real world would have said, who are you?
And maced him.
A, what are you doing? Trying to chat me up because I think you might be gay.
Yeah.
B, this is real. I'm going to call the police. C, I'm definitely going to call the police. And D, none of the things you're saying, even the improved shut up lines, are funny or attractive.
Wow. It's like in You've Got Mail. Have you seen that? Where
I think I have actually. Yes.
Where Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks are adversaries because she owns a tiny bookshop and he owns the massive chain bookshop. But they're also, unbeknownst to them, email pen pals.
I've seen that,
and they fall in love. But halfway through the film, Tom Hanks finds out that it's her.
Yeah.
And doesn't tell her. He uses it to manipulate her. And it gets really creepy.
For about
20 minutes.
I quite enjoyed that film still.
Yeah, so did I. But it is a bit odd.
Yeah. This was creepy for a bit and cringy. And he won me round, actually, the lead actor. But at the start of the film, I really hated him. I think Bill Nye's really good. It's got Tom Hollander as a cameo, as a frustrated. It's very English, and it feels a bit hack, the jokes. It doesn't feel like it feels like Richard Curtis doing the same thing, and not that funny.
Is Rowan Atkinson in it?
No. Okay. It's very... And what I don't like about it is that it takes the upper middle class as the norm of being British. They live... His parents live in a house on the Cornish coastline, a detached house. They walk down to the sea. That house would probably cost about £5 million. Yeah, yeah. And it's that's just
but
normal.
That's the England that Richard Curtis has been selling to the Americans for decades. Because Hugh Grant owns a house and a bookshop in Notting Hill and yet thinks he's too lowly for a film star to marry him. I mean, he's clearly got millions of pounds. I mean, that's... But this is the lie that I think Curtis is completely aware of it. This is the lie he's selling to the Americans. He just goes, look how humble we are. We don't all live in castles anymore.
Also, them just getting by is living in a house with a garden. Most people I know, I'm 37, can't afford to even get a flat in London because they're priced out the housing market. No one's got any money. There aren't enough houses. It's far more multicultural than Richard Curtis ever makes out it is. You'd think it would just be like, oh, look, there's one Asian person at our wedding.
You're saying in the modern recession hit age, it's become a bit distasteful to show us the problems of upper middle class people.
That's what it feels a bit like. But it just feels tired and the jokes feel annoying and they're not charming. And you realise a lot of the charm was down to Hugh Grant.
Well, that's interesting because he really sold that shtick as charming and totally...
Hugh Grant, I think, is brilliant.
He is great, yeah.
And he can get away with that bumbling thing, but the lines don't really hold up when someone else is doing it. And Bill Nye, he does it well. I think he's another one of used by every Richard Curtis film, but he's very good.
He is good. He was in the Richard Curtis Doctor Who episode.
Oh, was he?
It was the one about... you probably don't watch it, but it was the one about... Van Gogh.
Okay.
It was very good, I thought.
But nonetheless, I don't know whether it's nostalgia or feeling up. I still did enjoy parts of it because it gives you that hope of... It does do that thing of giving you that hope of what Britain should be like and life should be that normal. And the message is slightly warped and isn't realistic, but his films do have that sort of British, this is the way life could be, you know, nice sort of leafy streets and... overcoming small problems. It's just a bit twee, I suppose.
Yeah. But that's certainly what happened with Love Actually. I thought we came a bit too twee in.
I don't think it's as good as Love Actually either.
Okay. I didn't see The Boat That Rocked, same as you. I didn't see it. It was
awful.
Called Pirate Radio in America because they don't understand that a boat would rock.
Okay.
I think.
Well, let's see what Americans have to say about that. I give it 5 Mareks.
Okay. So it's better than Riddick. Well, I don't know what the conversion rate is of Mareks to Davids.
Yeah, I don't know what the reviews have been like for about time. Yeah, I think I was harsher than you, but recently I've been quite generous.
Okay.
Alpha Papa, I gave 10 and you gave it...
I gave it 9.
8.
I think. Did I give it 8?
Yeah. You'll regret that in years to come.
Yeah, I will.
Well,
that is 2 movies.
2 whole... movie.
Something for everyone. If you like a disappointing sci-fi, why not go to Riddick? If you like a disappointing rom-com, why not go to About Time?
Disappointment all round.
All round.
That's what life's like sometimes.
What's coming out? Are we looking forward to anything?
I'm looking forward to Rush.
What's Rush?
The Jimmy Stewart, Nicky Lauda racing film by Ron Howard.
Oh, the one with Thor in it.
Yes, as James Stewart.
It's not about Ian Rush.
James Hunt, rather, not James Stewart. James Stewart?
Yeah, it's not Jimmy Stewart. He's long dead.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart's the actor. I'm thinking of James Hunt, the racing driver, and Niki Lauda.
Right.
It looks very good.
Is it a sports movie, do you reckon? Or
it's a car movie.
Car movie, yeah. But
so that's sports,
yeah,
isn't
it? I guess it is, yeah. A hobbyist movie.
And what else am I looking forward to? I don't know anymore.
Simply don't know.
Bit of peace and quiet.
Well, that's it for this week.
I know it's not, actually.
Is it not?
Because I like this podcast, but it's independent. I want to. I would like to donate to show my support for Film Fandango.
Well, if you'd like to donate towards our running costs to keep Film Fandango alive and free, then you can do so by going to our website, filmfandango.co.uk. And thank you to everyone who has donated already. It is really appreciated.
Yes, thank you very much. That's it, then.
That's it for this week. We will be back next week with more films.
Well, we're going to be watching Idiocracy next week.
Idiocracy. We have a guest, don't we?
Yeah. Some Jewish producer bloke.
All right. Where do you know him, or?
Sort of, yeah.
All right, just bumped into him.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, we've got that to look forward to. Keep watching the films.
Keep watching films. Bye.
Bye. A little indie movie with Vin Diesel in it where he first played Riddick, and it's a good film. He is a prisoner and they get marooned on a planet, and it turns out Riddick's not the worst thing there. There's also monsters in the dark. Okay, fine. Second one, Chronicles of Riddick. Massive, overblown, complete pile of rubbish. They tried to turn it into a massive scoped sci-fi world like Star Wars or something, and it just was awful. Awful, awful, awful. He ends up as king of the universe at the end of that one, sitting on a big throne. Fine. This one, they were going back to basics. In the first 10 minutes, they completely undo everything they did in the second one. The setup could not be simpler. He's stranded on a planet, you know, only his wits to survive again, and there's these horrible monsters that look like scorpions, and then some bounty hunters arrive to try and kill him, and he has to try and kill all of them first to steal their ship to get off the planet before the storms come in and all the monsters move in. That's it. That's the entire setup. I thought it's gone back to basics. I thought it might actually, you know, tell a decent story and do all of that. And it tries to, and it fails. But
what your description of it, to be honest, sounded quite good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like double monsters, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to defeat the first monsters before the even worse monsters arrive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bit like when I had a roast dinner and I hated the Brussels sprouts and also be sweet on there.
Yeah.
So I used to try and hide the bits of roast dinner in my napkin and go to the toilet during the meal.
Watching Riddick's a lot like that.
But because my parents knew I would try and go with the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I see. You took them with you.
I took the swede out because they were looking at the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Made that into a movie.
And smoke it.
Yeah.
Riddick wasn't utterly disappointing. Afterwards, when I came home, I watched Dread again because it's similarly, actually, it's a sci-fi thing with a hard man, central character, blah, blah, blah. But it's such a simple premise that is then just done really well. And Riddick could have been that. That's probably its closest, most recent sort of rival, I'd say. But it gives its characters more space to breathe and for you to get to know them and it to be a bit more intimate than your normal action film of running around, flashy bang, woo. But it turns out when you give Riddick more time, there's really not much substance to him and he's not very, and the writers don't have anything interesting to say. So weirdly, it dragged for an action film. It was slow. It was really slow.
What I can't understand is how they made a third one when the second one was universally panned.
Well, because Vin Diesel makes money because of the Fast and the Furious films. This one appears to have been funded by the WWE, the World Wrestling.
Has it got lots of wrestlers in it?
There's a wrestler in it, and I think their logo was at the beginning. They funded it, I think, some of it.
See, so, my argument is, I mean, who watches these films? Who, these people who watch these films are clogging up our cinema. and you've watched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not giving money to the bad guys.
It's not. It's not that kind. It's not that bad. I mean, you've got to have a bit of spectacle. It was a bit like John Carter of Mars, but without any hope.
How many people were in the cinema? What time did you go and see it? This is a good.
I went to see it at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about half full.
Really?
Yeah.
And were the other people just sort of teenagers who were idiots?
I didn't stare at them that much, to be honest. I was mostly looking forwards. But no, I'd say they're a mix of folk.
I.
But you don't like the adventure genre anyway.
No, I like Dread. I like The Raid. I like good action. I don't like it when it's just bigger and bigger monsters. I'm a big fan of early sort of the things that spawned this, like Aliens.
That's exactly what this is trying to be. It's trying to be Aliens and Predator. It's got the team of mercenaries who are. It's mostly about. Most of the film is them, not Riddick, because Riddick's the monster, actually,
okay.
For the first thing. He's an anti-hero. So it's them trying to survive, like The Thing as well. It's that genre.
See,
is what it's
brilliant.
Trying to be. And it ends up being about as sophisticated as a cutscene from Gears of War, which is a computer game that it clearly has been copying the art design from. But, they don't have any interesting dialogue to put in the mouths of these characters, so we don't. There's no point spending so much time with them. They're not good at building up tension or any of this stuff. That is what that genre is. It's tension.
You know, I love Alien, I love The Predator, I love Terminator, yeah. Terminator 2. All that stuff was great. Were my favourite films in the early 90s and late 80s.
Mm.
But it's just rubbish now. It's just ridiculously huge monsters. And it sounds like a similar monster to the monster in After Earth. It's as disgusting as you can make it. And they just... Oh, dang. I don't...
They were better than most on this. It wasn't just a CGI fest. I mean, there's huge amounts of CGI, but mostly to cut the budget down, really. And they're on an alien world, so they've got to create that. But it started well and didn't hold up. Like, the beginning, it's him trying to train himself and to defeat one monster and their adversaries, and it's actually told quite well at the beginning,
yeah.
And then it just sort of loses its way. But it really lost me at a point where, you know, that scene they do in films where they did it with the Joker in The Dark Knight, and they do it with other kind of people that the audience is supposed to go, oh, he's so evil. When there's a guy, when the character is like chained up. Or, you know, he's tied to a chair or something. And he says, let me tell you what's going to happen. In 5 minutes' time, I'm going to put this pencil through that guy's balls. And then I'm going to do this and this and this. And they're just like, hey, you're never going to do that. And then, lo and behold, he does.
Mm.
They have that scene. Fine. You know, it's often fun. But in that one where he's going, I'm going to do this hard thing. And I'm going to kill that guy. And I'm going to kill that guy.
Mm.
And then I'm going to be balls deep in that woman. And you're like, whoa,
what?
Riddick! He genuinely said that, balls deep.
Oh, he's, no.
He was just like, you being a hard killing machine was sort of cool with.
Not a sex
you being
monster.
A sex monster is not, that's not cool, Riddick.
Even say, I'm going to, you know, talk to her, I'm going to get to know her.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy her flowers, I'm going to realise she's a person, and then when she's, if that's what she wants.
Yeah.
I will do that, but at the same time, we'll still love and respect her.
I don't think there was much insinuation that you just go, and in 25 minutes' time, you're going to be romanced off your feet. And
yeah.
You just go, I don't think I am, but I look forward to that. No, it wasn't none of that.
I don't know if there's any woman who would say, 25 minutes' time, I'm going to be balls deep in you. That you're actually saying, well, A, you've probably got to know instantly. I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was... That it was really like, oh no.
What a horrible phrase.
Horrible phrase, especially when combined with a promise.
Yeah, at least be a bit less ambitious.
Yeah.
Helm's deep.
Helm's deep in you.
My favourite one of those scenes, which are what I'm going to do scene, is one of my favourite scenes with... In True Romance with Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
He didn't really say what he's going to do to him, but he knows he's going to kill him. And they just have a sort of normal... They get to that point and go, right,
yeah,
I'm going to kill you now.
Yeah.
And then just do your bit. You know, we both know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You don't need to say all that ordering about. It's like Babe Ruth when he pointed to the... that was the first time someone said what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah. Was it the first time ever?
But that was in sport.
Yeah.
Because Babe Ruth famously, I think he played for the Yankees or something, pointed to the outfield.
Yes.
Saying he was going to hit a home run.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gave birth to this. That's what I'm going to... The idea of telling people what they're going
to
do.
That's why now in a game of pool, you have to pick your pocket, which one you're going to pop the black in.
Yeah.
It's Babe Ruthing it, isn't it?
It's the point. The Babe Ruth point that changed human interaction forever.
Wow. Well, thanks, Babe Ruth, for that. But I'm sorry Riddick picked up your ball and carried it quite so far.
How many balls do you give Riddick?
How many balls? It didn't go balls deep in me, I have to admit. He didn't do what he promised.
Okay.
It's going to have to be only half a ball, I think.
Which translates as how many Davids?
Three.
Three Davids.
Three or four.
Oh, well, as we get into the middle section, I went to see a film, but first of all, we should read out a letter.
Go on, then. Who's been in touch?
I'm going to read out a letter now. Oh, let's do the horror film was one, shall we, for this one?
Okay.
Friend of the show, Anne Coletta, has been in. Do you want to read it out? Because I think, as a reader, one reading age is maybe two or three years older than mine.
Are you regressing? Are you Benjamin Buttoning your reading age? Sorry, are you Jodie Fostering your reading age?
Jodie Foster, yeah. That's a reference to last week. Or 2 weeks ago, rather, when we talked about Elysium and Jodie Foster's acting performances getting progressively worse as she gets older.
I can't wait for what she's going to be doing in 10 years' time. It is going to be wonderfully bad.
She's going to be playing Keanu Reeves in Dracula.
Okay, Anne Coletta, where is she from?
America somewhere, I think.
Okay. Dear David American Buddy, I was introduced to Hammer Horror and a lot of other horror films, that is, by my ex. The ones that really stuck with me were the bizarrely entertaining Houseu, or House, and the truly disturbing Wreck. I can't find the full versions online, but here are some clips. She sent us some clips of Houseu and Wreck. Side note, I met my husband when we were in graduate school taking a required class in management. Ugh! Our first assignment was a management paper on anything, so I wrote mine on Shaun of the Dead, and he wrote his on Dawn of the Dead. Cute. Aww. Give my best to Danielle Ward. I miss hearing her on the podcast, but I'm very glad her play is coming to New York. Yours, Anne. Well, thanks, Anne Coletta. I've not seen Wreck, which I'm ashamed of.
Have you seen House?
Houseu?
No, I haven't, but I've not heard of it, so that one I'm excited by, but I feel more ashamed I can't join in the conversation.
I haven't seen Houseu, but I have seen Wreck, which they remade, I think.
Yes, it's Quarantine.
Yes, but the original is a Spanish one about these firemen who go into this... it's a fireman zombie sort of film.
Fireman versus zombies.
It's one of those sort of found footage one. It's really great though. And when you say found footage, you automatically think, "Oh right, this is a shit
Blair Witch."
Yeah, it's really great. It is.
They can be. I mean, it's just.
I thoroughly enjoyed Wreck, and I think everyone should watch it. It's very good.
All right.
Any other horror film? What are your favourite horror films?
Oh, The Shining has to be up there for me. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. Drag Me to Hell, I'm very fond of. American Werewolf in London, obviously.
That's some weird countdown thing.
Yeah.
What films are you most scared of?
As a kid?
No, when as now, you've seen.
I now?
Mean, well, the Omen, I was petrified of that. I still think it's one of the scariest films.
Well, the thing is, I don't think I get scared at horror films anymore. Because, and I'm not... It's not a pathetic teenager's brag. But I watched The Shining when I was 5 years old. And it probably scarred me, I think. But I haven't found horror films scary since then. Probably just because, you know, my brain's going, just a film, just a film.
Do you think you're a psychopath?
Oh, I hope so. No, I don't think I am.
Is that one of the tests of a psychopath to find out if they find a horror film scary or not?
Not that I know of, no. I think you talk about them, you talk to a psychopath about themselves and see how keen they are to talk about it and how awesome they think they are.
one of my scariest films.
Mm.
Just change the subject.
To talk about yourself.
Because I'm a psychopath.
Right, yeah.
Is The Grudge, the remake of a Japanese one with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Really?
In terms of being terrified by a film.
I would hate to find a hand in my hair whilst I was having a shower.
Yeah, is that what happens? I can't remember.
It happens in the trailer. I've not seen the film.
It's seeing things out the corner of your eye. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because then when you go to bed, you think you keep on seeing things out the corner of your eye. And you think, oh, do you know what? The last thing I want is to get killed by a Japanese monster when I've got stuff to do tomorrow.
That idea is terrifying. Not getting your stuff done.
But say I wanted...
You're gearing up for a plug, aren't you? I can hear them coming these days.
I don't
know just
how
out the corner of my ears.
I don't know how. It's almost like I've got you when you go around someone's house and you've got to ask something. Your mum's asked you to ask something. You've got to do it. I just don't. You want to
take
be
as long
about
as possible.
Yeah.
Is always.
I'll go around.
You've got a very loud segue. I can hear it coming a mile
it's
off.
It's a sigh, isn't it? Yeah, I've got no subtlety at all.
But. I think what you're getting at is if people would like to experience some kind of horror thing live,
bingo.
Then why not come to Film Fandango Live 2, which is going to be a Halloween special and a quiz.
What date is it, though?
I'm trying to remember. 29th of October, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's a Tuesday. But where is it, though?
It's at the Forge and Foundry, the same place as last time. They do good drink.
And what's going to happen, then?
Well, the details have yet to be ironed out, but I think it's going to be a quiz with prizes, and we're going to, as part of the quiz, we're going to show short films we've made ourselves again, and it's going to be really good times.
Yeah, because last time we did it, we enjoyed it, we showed our films in the first half and did a bit of a quiz.
And then we watched RoboCop.
But I thought it seemed everyone wanted to get together, there's lots of really nice people came along, thank you for coming, and everyone wanted to sort of just chat films.
Well, that's what we felt, it was after the interval... Everyone had sort of relaxed and started to get on, and then they had to sit in the dark for 2 hours, and then by the time that finished, they had to catch the tube home. So we're going to hopefully make it a bit more interactive, social.
And there'll be lots of, I think tickets about £7.50, which is quite expensive, but there'll be lots of prizes. So we're going to get loads of DVDs for that. And if you have any prizes, if you want to send us any DVDs, just send them to us so we can give them away.
Or bring them on the night.
Yeah,
bring
them
on the
night.
We'll put them into the kitty.
Anything you don't want that you want to give away, yeah, do that. Make sure it works first. Hey, but hang on. It's not just that. I want to write into this podcast and I want to express myself.
Right. Well, why don't you email us? You can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to just post on our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/filmfandango.
And that's where information about the live Film Fandango and you can buy tickets. Or if not, go to Foundry, Camden, Film Fandango and buy them there.
Yeah, you can Google all that stuff, but it's probably easiest to go to our Facebook page. Even if you don't use Facebook and more people are leaving, I understand. It's sort of a digital wasteland these days. But... you can still view our Facebook page to get all of the information. Or you can just tweet us if you'd like to be in touch, at Film Fandango. So, Marek, you have gone to the cinema as well this week.
Yeah, I went to the blimmin' cinema.
But you didn't go see Riddick, did you?
No. Well, this might surprise people. I'm actually a sucker for a good rom-com.
Is that right? What's your favourite rom-com?
I don't know. Truly Madly Deeply, maybe?
It's a good one. I don't like The Magician, but I do like everyone else.
Yeah, no one likes him. Yeah. If he'd been the other way around, he should have died.
Maybe that's why it's so moving, that you find it really difficult to move on from Alan Rickman as well.
Yeah, everyone's like, do you know what? I think she should have spent a bit more time...
grieving. <Yeah.
laughs> I went to see, of course, the most famous... rom-com man is Richard Curtis.
Correct. Who I always accidentally called Tony Curtis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I've gone out of it, but I went through a phase of doing that.
It's weird how once you get the synapses in your brain saying something wrong,
yeah,
it's really hard to relearn the right thing again.
Do you think I have a synapse dedicated to getting Richard Curtis's name right now? Because I wanted to get it right so often that I've actually now got a piece of hardware.
You need to make that synapse stronger than the Tony Curtis one.
Right.
So it's only by
consuming parts of his body that I can do that.
So basically, for beginning people into neurology, Is it neurology, isn't it? Yeah. What's happened is your synapse thinking it's Tony Curtis started to make a mistake, but then beforehand you realised that you've made that Tony Curtis mistake beforehand. So your first thought, I think, is that you make a mistake. That precedes the Tony Curtis thing.
And then I just go into a big cycle.
Yeah, then at the end of it, someone gets killed.
Oh, God.
Well, you could always go back in time and change the mistake, which segues me.
I did not hear that segue coming. You've got better at it.
Normally, I do a big sigh that shows I'm thinking.
Beep, beep. You turn the beeping reverse noise off. So, it was About Time.
Yes, About Time is Richard Curtis's latest rom-com.
And last?
I don't know.
I heard some press that it was going to be his last film.
He's made... I haven't seen The Boat That Rocked, but it got some bad reviews. He seems to have gone off the boil since he was a god amongst British filmmakers.
Mm.
Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill...
No, Love Actually.
Love Actually were his big ones.
I mean, they sort of increased in commercial success as they went along, but went downhill in terms of quality, in my opinion. Four Weddings is a classic film and should be remembered, I think, and watched.
Really. I really like Notting Hill.
Oh, so do I, but yeah. I think it's not as accomplished, and then Love Actually is sort of fine.
Well, what happens in this one, I tell you, is there's a young sort of 21-year-old bloke called Tim who finds out from his father, played by Bill Nighy, that all the male people in their family can time travel, but not big things, only within their lifetime.
So they can travel back to a moment in their life they've already lived.
Yeah, and just change and go back forward again. So all they have to do is go in the cupboard and just clench their fists and think of it, if that's simple.
Right, and how long can they go back for?
They can go back for as long as they want, and they can go forward again and change little things. Things will be changed.
Do they have to jump forward again afterwards?
Not really, but they normally do. It's not explained. Basically, the time-travelling thing is not properly thought through.
Okay.
What's interesting is that I've just finished reading a time-travel book by Stephen King, which is 11/22/63. I hope I haven't got the wrong, but it's the day that JFK died.
Right.
But a guy who goes back in time. And that is a really... Although that is a flawed book, which will eventually get made into a film, I've no doubt... It covers the time travel aspect of it much more intelligently than this film, which just, it seems to me the time travel aspect is, here's what happens, we're going to explain it, we're not going to go into too much detail.
You can't, because it doesn't work. Ultimately, it will never perfectly work.
So it's sort of not really, really explained.
Okay. So what does Tim use this power to do?
He just uses this to fall in love. Now, this has got every single trapping of... Richard Curtis films. It's sort of set around that sort of West London area. It's got the American love interest.
Yeah.
It's got the sort of slightly ditzy Charlotte, what's her name, who died character. You know, one from Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, Scarlett.
Scarlett, the great actress who died, sadly. I can't remember her name. That sort of character's in it. It's his sister. There's the sort of oddball character. It's the same set of characters that appear in all his films. And... Four Weddings and a Funeral, for me, I think had that charm and that naivety.
Mm.
And Hugh Grant was brilliant at playing that part.
Oh, he is excellent.
And also in Notting Hill, he's got that sort of Britishness, which is very upper middle class, I'd say.
Yes.
And that was charming, I think, in those two films. And now it's sort of lost its sheen for me. And it feels a bit like this is your vehicle for making a film. This sort of half, sort of foppish, not very funny, just slightly really British, that has become, was naive in the early 90s, and now it seems a bit, I don't really think of the word, sort of staged, and not funny anymore. Not as funny.
Not as relevant, perhaps.
Not as relevant, but it feels
resonant.
Like, yeah, see, it feels like, oh, right, this is you pushing the buttons
for
a big success story. And I think the bloke who plays the main lead is Domhnall Gleeson, I can't pronounce it. He's Brendan Gleeson's son.
Oh.
Now, I thought for the first bit of this film, he really annoyed me, because he's got a romantic lead and he was playing that sort of shy Hugh Grant fop.
Yeah.
And I just thought, hang on a minute, this character's gay, isn't he?
Wow.
I don't know if my gaydar's wrong, but I thought... You're just acting. You look like a. You're acting like a quite. He was acting so foppy
mm.
and fey. I thought you're surely this character's going to realise he's actually gay and not looking for a romance.
Be a brave move in a rom-com.
Be much braver and much more interesting. Instead, it was just quite typical him and the lines he gave to chat up the beautiful Rachel McAdams, who I thought was great.
She's your go-to time-travelling love interest.
Yeah, and underused as well. I think just smiley and a bit two-dimensional and just perfect and nice in every way. And I thought she could play a lot more interesting character. She played it very well.
Like in The Notebook.
Yes, it was just a bit too two-dimensional. And the joke and him chatting her up, I just thought, you know what? She would tell him to piss off.
So let me, because I've only seen the trailer, and this would be my guess, but he goes back in time to rectify mistakes he's made. So if his first introduction to her isn't perfect, he'll go back and do it again and do the right thing and stuff. Does it get beyond that much?
Not really. It's about sort of time travelling. It's about relationship.
Because after a while, that would get sinister to me, of just like, what you think this girl is superficial just, enough to that, you know,
it just escapes being sinister, doesn't it? It feels a little bit cringy.
How far back does he go? Does he go back to being in nappies, for instance?
No. It does get a bit stalkery at one point when you think there's no way if someone would come up to you and knew your name and knew about you, you just go, leave me alone.
Mm.
I don't find this amusing. I find this really stalkery.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call the police now. Like there's several times when Rachel McAdams in the real world would have said, who are you?
And maced him.
A, what are you doing? Trying to chat me up because I think you might be gay.
Yeah.
B, this is real. I'm going to call the police. C, I'm definitely going to call the police. And D, none of the things you're saying, even the improved shut up lines, are funny or attractive.
Wow. It's like in You've Got Mail. Have you seen that? Where
I think I have actually. Yes.
Where Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks are adversaries because she owns a tiny bookshop and he owns the massive chain bookshop, but they're also, unbeknownst to them, email pen pals.
I've seen that,
and
yeah.
they fall in love. But halfway through the film, Tom Hanks finds out that it's her.
Yeah.
And doesn't tell her. He uses it to manipulate her, and it gets really creepy.
For about
20 minutes.
I quite enjoyed that film. Still.
Yeah, so did I. But it is a bit odd.
Yeah, this was creepy for a bit and cringy, and he won me round actually, the lead actor. But at the start of the film, I really hated him. I think Bill Nye's really good. It's got Tom Hollander as a cameo, as a frustrating. It's very English and it feels a bit hack, the jokes. It doesn't feel like it feels like Richard Curtis doing the same thing and not that funny.
Is Rowan Atkinson in it?
No, okay. It's very, and what I don't like about it is that it takes the upper middle class as a norm of being British. And they live, his parents live in a house on the Cornish coastline, a detached house. They walk down to the sea. That house would probably cost about £5 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's that's just
but
normal.
That's the England that Richard Curtis has been selling to the Americans for decades. Because Hugh Grant owns a house and a bookshop in Notting Hill and yet thinks he's too lowly for a film star to marry him. I mean, he's clearly got millions of pounds. I mean, that's... But this is the lie that... I think Curtis is completely aware of it. This is the lie he's selling to the Americans. He just goes, look how humble we are. We don't all live in castles anymore.
Also them just getting by, is living in a house with a garden. Most people I know, I'm 37, can't afford to even get a flat in London because they're priced out the housing market. No one's got any money. There aren't enough houses. It's far more multicultural than Richard Curtis ever makes out it is. You'd think it would just be like, oh look, there's one Asian person at our wedding. It's not.
So you're saying in the modern recession hit age, it's become a bit distasteful to show us the problems of upper middle class people.
That's what it feels a bit like. But it just feels tired and the jokes feel annoying and they're not charming. And you realise a lot of the charm was down to Hugh Grant.
Well, that's interesting because he really sold that shtick as charming and totally.
Hugh Grant, I think, is brilliant.
He is great, yeah.
And he can get away with that bumbling thing, but the lines don't really hold up when someone else is doing it. And Bill Nye, he does it well. I think he's another one of used by every Richard Curtis film, but he's very good.
He is good. He was in the Richard Curtis Doctor Who episode.
Oh, was he?
It was the one about, you probably don't watch it, but it was the one about Van Gogh.
Okay.
It was very good, I thought.
But nonetheless, I don't know whether it's nostalgia or feeling that I still did enjoy parts of it. Because it gives you that hope of, it does do that thing of giving you that hope of what Britain should be like and life should be that normal. And the message is slightly warped and isn't realistic, but his films do have that sort of British, this is the way life could be, you know, nice sort of leafy streets and overcoming small problems. It's just a bit twee, I suppose.
Yeah. But well, that's certainly what happened with Love Actually. I thought we came a bit too twee in.
I don't think it's as good as Love Actually either.
Okay. I didn't see The Boat That Rocked, same as you. I didn't see it. It was
awful.
Called Pirate Radio in America because they don't understand that a boat would rock.
Okay.
I think.
Well, let's see what American listeners have to say about that. I give it 5 Marics.
Okay, so it's better than Riddick. Well, I don't know what the conversion rate is of Marics to Davids.
Yeah, I don't know what the reviews have been like for about time. Yeah, I think I was harsher than you, but recently I've been quite generous.
Okay.
Alpha Papa, I gave 10 and you gave it...
I gave it 9.
8.
I think. Did I give it 8?
Yeah. You'll regret that in years to come.
Yeah, I will.
Well,
that is 2 movies.
2 whole movies.
Something for everyone. If you like a disappointing sci-fi, why not go to Riddick? If you like a disappointing rom-com, why not go to About Time?
Disappointment all round.
All round.
That's what life's like sometimes.
What's coming out? Are we looking forward to anything?
I'm looking forward to Rush.
What's Rush?
The Jimmy Stewart, Nicky Lauda racing film by Ron Howard.
Oh, the one with Thor in it.
Yes, as James Stewart.
It's not about Ian Rush.
James Hunt, rather, not James Stewart. James Stewart?
Yeah, it's not Jimmy Stewart. He's long dead.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart's the actor. I'm thinking of James Hunt, the racing driver, and Nicky Lauda.
Right.
It looks very good.
Is it a sports movie, do you reckon? Or
it's a car movie.
Car movie, yeah. But
so that's sports,
yeah,
isn't
I
it?
I guess it is, yeah.
Yeah.
A hobbyist movie.
And what else am I looking forward to? I don't know anymore.
I simply don't know.
Bit of peace and quiet.
Well, that's it for this week.
I know it's not, actually.
Is it not?
Because I like this podcast, but it's independent. I would like to donate to show my support for Film Fandango.
Well, if you'd like to donate towards our running costs to keep Film Fandango alive and free, then you can do so by going to our website, filmfandango.co.uk. And thank you to everyone who has donated already. It is really appreciated.
Yes, thank you very much. That's it, then.
That's it for this week. We will be back next week with more films.
Well, we're going to be watching Idiocracy next week.
Idiocracy. We have a guest, don't we?
Yeah. Some Jewish producer bloke.
All right. Where, do you know him, or...?
Sort of, yeah.
All right, just bumped into him.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, we've got that to look forward to. Keep watching the films.
Keep watching films. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.